So this is the subject of my talk and the list of the authors of this work. I will start with a summary which will consist of two different parts. First of all, I will very briefly tell you what is the idea of fault-tolerant quantum computing in the form presented by Alexei Kitaev some few years ago. And then I will mention some basic facts about frustrated quantum anti-ferromagnets, resonance valence bond state, and quantum dimers, which this is a kind of system which is, I will show, is very useful for realization of fault-tolerant quantum computing. Then, after this introduction, I'm going to make three statements. First, that quantum dimers on a triangular lattice, do realize all properties needed for topologically protected quantum computing. Second point is that this abstract model of quantum dimers can be, at least in principle, realized as a Josephson junction array. And moreover, it is possible to fabricate the whole system, which will contain many effective qubits made of such an array. And I will present some example of simple manipulation with these qubits. So first of all, what is the idea of the idea is that any simple quantum two-state two-level system is usually subject to rather strong decoherence due to interaction with the external world. And we have heard today about real experimental problems related with both flux and charge qubits. The idea of Kitaev was the following. Let's try to find some relatively large, strongly correlated system which will play a role of single qubit. And this system should have the following properties. No local order parameter, which means the system is not superconductive, not superfluid, not crystal. No any simple order parameter. Second, all excitations should be gapful. There is no gapless excitation. Well, this is obvious demand in order to avoid decoherence. And then why such a system can be interesting? Because apart from gapful excitation, it should also have some finite degeneracy of the ground state. For example, two or three fold degeneracy. In the why all this is called topological? Because the presence or absence of this degeneracy in the ground state depends on the topology of the system. So do we have some non-trivial closed paths which we can draw on our system, or such a, paths are absent? There is a quite well-known example where such topological degeneracy exists, namely Laughlin fractional quantum Hall states. It was shown quite long ago that if we imagine such a system on a torus with periodic boundary conditions on both directions, then the fractional quantum Hall state with denominator 2m plus 1 will be degenerate with this factor on a closed surface of genus G. In the simplest case, if we have 1/3 fractional quantum Hall state on a torus, which means G is 1, so the ground state is triple degenerate. And it was shown by Wen and Niu that indeed the properties of this system are very robust with respect to disorder. The effect of disorder is exponentially weak in the ratio of size of the system to the magnetic length. Now, how to transform one state to another? Well, there is some, how to say, thinkable experiment of transfer of creation of some excitation of beyond this ground state, like anyon, and then moving it around the system and annihilation. It such an operation can be imagined, but it's difficult to produce it really. And what is even worse, that with quantum Hall system, we should not have any free edge. So we cannot use even cylinder, only torus, because there are gapless excitation on the edge. And of course, we cannot make quantum Hall system on the torus. So we start to think about some another kind of strongly correlated system, which still would possess all these three basic properties, but which could be possible to make physically. And before I will, so this system have to do with another part of my introduction, namely quantum dimers and resonance valent bond ground state. The idea of this RVB state probably is due to Anderson, who considered a possible ground state of quantum frustrated antiferromagnet. And the idea is that, let's suppose we have triangular lattice antiferromagnetic interaction of spin 1/2. And well, we know that actually this state has a Nail order on just on triangular lattice with spin 1/2, but there are some modifications. I will tell a little bit later. There are some slight modification of this model, which indeed show completely different type of ground state. And this ground state was somehow, in a sense, predicted or by Anderson. This is some linear combination of all possible singlets which could be made on a lattice. So spins are here, and then we can make a singlet out of two spins which are neighbors. But clearly we can do it in a very large number of different ways. This piece of line connecting two sides is just a dimer, which I will use in the following discussion. So since 87, it was a very intensive activity about quantum theory of dimers related to attempts of microscopic theory of high T6. Here it was, of course, square lattice. And actually, square lattice is different from triangular one, and I will explain it in a minute why. But already on an earlier stage, some a few papers appeared. There, the arguments were presented that these RVB state actually has the same properties like a topological order. So degeneracy in the ground state for the system with periodic boundary conditions. Okay, all this was discussed with, in relation with square lattice dimers, of course, since people wanted to use it for high TC theory. But then it was soon found that this kind of state on the square lattice is gapless. I will mention just two papers. And it was shown first that this model is equivalent to 2 plus 1 electrodynamics. And on the other hand, it is can be mapped on a height model or a model of fluctuating surface. Then, to finish with my introduction, in the very last few years, it was some revival of interest to these kind of problems, provoked by several papers of Sentil and Fisher, and then this group of people who discussed the possibility to construct some model of fractionalization of electrons using these ideas of RVB and using some Ising-Gage theories. Now, the very important results were obtained very recently by numerical methods. Let me mention two important papers. This group have made a numerical diagonalization of the triangular antiferromagnet with spin 1/2, and apart from usual Heisenberg exchange, it was also four-particle exchange introduced into this model. And in some range of parameters, they found that the ground state has all properties which should be expected for the system with topological order. That's one point. Another point, I'm moving slowly to my main subject. Moester and Zonhi have studied triangular quantum dimers on a rather large lattice using a quantum Monte Carlo. And also they have found rather strong evidence for the existence of short-range RVB ground state. Now it's time to explain in more details what are these triangular dimers and why we should expect topological order. So, this is triangular lattice, and dimers are shown by these blue thick lines. The condition is that each side of the lattice belongs to one dimer. There is no intersection, there are no empty sides on this lattice. The number of possible configurations of this kind is exponentially large in the size of the lattice. Now, what kind of dynamics we define? Better to write, to show it like this. There are two terms in the Hamiltonian. One is the amplitude of transformation of this plaquette, so with horizontal dimers, into the plaquettes with dimers showing like this, just flip. There is a process like this with amplitude T. And there is also potential energy. The increase of this potential energy counts the number of plaquettes where we can find parallel dimers. Now, what about topology and degeneracy? There is on this language, it looks very simple. Imagine that there are periodic boundary conditions on this system, and when we draw some artificial green line, control line, we count a number of dimers which are crossed by this line. Important fact is that the parity of this number is conserved by the dynamics of our system. It's very simple. For example, this process, we count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now consider another configuration where these dimers are flipped. This number is changed by 2. So parity is conserved. It means that the whole class of possible configurations is split into two parts. One is odd with respect to this control line, another is even. Now, if we have a system on a torus, we have also second control line. Again, factor 2. So on a torus, we have the whole large set of classical configurations is split into 4 subsets, and there is no transition between these two states. It follows immediately that if we find some ground state of quantum Hamiltonian, then this ground state should be in a large system, in a thermodynamic limit, should be 4-fold degenerate on a torus. This is the main idea why these dimers are good. And now, what is our result? So here, again, finally I show the Hamiltonian, which describes this, contain these two terms, potential and kinetic and potential energy. This Hamiltonian has a very special point, which is called Rockscher-Kivelson point. The point where these two parameters, T and V, are equal. And this point is very special because the ground state energy at T equal V is exactly zero, and the ground state wave function is just the uniform sum of all possible configurations. Now, on triangular lattice, this model, or better to say, classical version of this model, has only short-range correlations, contrary to the square lattice. And there is no height representation for this dimer on a triangular lattice. This is why it was expected that indeed the ground state, at least in some range of parameters, could be first of all, liquid, no crystalline order, and second, with this topological degeneracy. Now, what we can imagine about the states of this Hamiltonian? First of all, if V parameter is larger than T, then the ground state is unique and not interesting. It is called staggered state, the state where there is no parallel dimers at all. So this thing. Now this is because if this V parameter is large, then what we should do is to minimize the number of parallel dimers. Now, in the opposite limit, when V is much less than T or negative, then there is another obvious state, columnar state, where the number of these parallel dimers is maximum, this state. Interesting situation is in between. And now let me make a statement, finally. There is a range of parameters where V is less than T, but not much less, where the ground state is liquid, it is quantum liquid. These results were obtained by direct diagonalization of Hamiltonian, of the Hamiltonian on the systems of not very large size, of course, maximum 6x5 torus and 6x6 cylinder. So the main features which I will mention now, and then we'll show some pictures. First of all, indeed, from this numerical diagonalization, it follows, like from Monte Carlo simulation by Mössner and Zonke, that there is such a range of parameter where short range RVB state exists in triangular dimers. Now, second point, in a cylinder geometry with free edges, still there are no gapless excitations, at least close to this interesting point V equal T, which of course is important because it's very difficult to fabricate a system with toroidal boundary conditions, much easier to make a cylinder or a carbine disk. And the most important third point is that, just we short of all this idea, that suppose there is some perturbation of the system. We consider just a static local disorder, some static random energy which is assigned to each bond of the lattice, if it is covered by a dimer. Then it was found that in this quantum liquid state, the sensitivity of the spectrum to the disorder is extremely low. It is lower than in the crystalline state by a factor 1,000 or even maybe 10,000, even on such a small system. So this is what I'm going to demonstrate in a minute. Before I will show these results of numerical diagonalization, let me mention what actually we should expect on a finite systems like we studied. I explained that we should expect a four-fold degeneracy on an infinite torus, but our torus is rather small. So there is some symmetry consideration which shows that for cylinder, the multiplicity of the ground state is 2 for almost all cases, apart from the case when the length of the cylinder is divisible by 4. Of course, it should be 1 here, not 0. So there is no degeneracy if the cylinder has a height divisible by 4, and the multiplicity is 2 for all other cylinders. For torus, calcification is more complicated, and there is just a table for small tori, which we have considered. Note one thing. Among all, unfortunately, we could not study, diagonalize the torus 6x6. It was too large for this code, but it would be very interesting because there is a by symmetry considerations, the degeneracy should be 4, like in a thermodynamic limit. But the same degeneracy is expected in the tori 3x6. Now, let me show the spectrum. This is a excitation, first excitation gap for this beyond the ground state as function of our parameter v over t. So we see that near point one, there is a gap in the excitation spectrum for all these systems, and this gap is larger for tori, and it is largest for this torus 3x6, which is, I think, due to the fact that degeneracy on this system is the same as in infinite system. So in a sense, this small system is somehow closer to a very large one. Okay, this here I have shown the presence of the gap in the excitation spectrum, both for torus and cylinder. And now, what happens with the effect of disorder? Here I present results for different systems, torus and cylinders. On this axis, we plot the ratio of delta D is the splitting of the energy, of the ground state energy, which is due to weak disorder introduced into the system, divided by this disorder. Now, if a system is simple, like crystal, then this number should be of order 1. And indeed, in the range where the ground state is a Stargate crystal, we see it that it is something of the order 1. Interesting phase is here, when V is a little bit smaller than T. Actually, if we look to the numbers, there is a set here. We see that the effect of the same disorder in this parameter range is four orders of magnitude less, at least. There is almost no effect of disorder, just in the region where the ground state is a quantum liquid, or in other terms, short range RVB.
What kind of disorder is
it? Just random energy of a dimer. Just random chemical potential assigned to each bond of the lattice. So if there is a dimer on this bond, then the energy is shifted by some small amount. And of course, in a crystalline state, you just should make a Gaussian sum of all this contribution. On these relatively small lattices, it results in something of order 1. But in the quantum liquid state, all these effects of disorder are smeared. And they are smeared to a huge amount, factor like 10,000. We expect that the same effect of elimination of disorder somehow should be present for dynamic perturbation as well, in the case if these perturbations are local. The main point is that we consider general perturbation which are normally local, and the effect of this perturbation is strongly suppressed because we are averaged in the liquid ground state. Okay, now I turn to the second point. Not me average of the disorder, but the system average this disorder itself, because the ground state, at least exactly at Rogoshov-Kivelson point, the ground state is a sum of all possible classical configurations. Each classical configuration has different energies considerably shifted because of this local disorder. But since the ground state is a sum of all of them, and there is exponentially large number of them, the total effect of disorder becomes negligible. Now, how to fabricate such a system? Till now, this quantum dimer was some abstract notion. Now, let me explain how to produce, at least theoretically, how it is possible to produce this dimer system. There are even two versions. Probably I will tell you about one of them because I probably have no time for two. So, this is an array of Josephson junctions, which on a larger scale, it is triangular array. There is a triangular array of hexagons. This is first point. Now, actually, islands are these pieces of the shape of Y-shaped islands. There are Josephson junctions and some capacitances on junctions here between these hexagonal nodes and inside them. And so there are two types of Josephson energies. E, here it is plotted like current, and EJ at internal junction in the hexagon, so E Josephson H, and on junction between large hexagons. Let's first of all, we consider a system which is in a charging limit. So the charging energy E squared over C is much larger than the Josephson energy. And then there is a gate potential which make the states we were which make degenerate two states of the island which differ by one Cooper pair. So on average, it is just one half Cooper pair for each of these hexagons. Now, important point is that the junctions between junctions inside the hexagon are small compared to another junction between hexagons. For a moment, imagine that here Josephson junction energy is just zero. But this one exists. So we may have some extra Cooper pair, which is sitting here or here. In fact, of course, it will be delocalized. And the ground state will be symmetric mixture of the Cooper pair sitting here and here. And this is just the bond, like valence bond, which plays the role of our dimer. Now, as long as these couplings are switched off, this dimer is sitting on one point, and then there is another dimer here and there, and it is some classical configuration. Now, we turn on weak Josephson coupling, coupling inside these hexagons, these couplings. Then we consider this placket, rhombic placket. In the second order over this weak coupling, we find that there is an amplitude of process which transforms this configuration to vertical dimers to the process where dimers are sitting like this. This amplitude is of course, it is second order in weak coupling EJH, and actually it is calculated. There is a Now, we also need to have rather exactly adjusted potential energy, which is what I called return. And indeed, if we calculate electrostatic energy of this state for with appropriate choice of capacitances, we find that electrostatic energy indeed scales with a number of plackets which contain parallel dimers, and there is a V parameter which is directly related to these capacitances. So this is how it is possible to make quantum dimers out of Josephson junctions. Of course, I understand that it is quite non-trivial in reality, but at least it is something which could be theoretically discussed as a first stage. Okay. Now, what is qubit here? One qubit in the simplest form is just this triangular array. Now, again, I forget about internal structure, which produce these dimers, and go back to the abstract model with triangular lattice and dimers which are covering it. Now, so we have a ring. So we have a ring. Large ring with the length of its internal boundary M and say this width L. As I explained already, in the system for a system with this geometry, the ground state is doubly degenerate, and this is a degeneracy. These two states are even or odd in a number of dimers which intersect, say, this line. So these are our basic states of our qubit. Now, how to produce control fields Hx and Hz? Hz is just energy difference between even and odd states, which are degenerate in the thermodynamic limit, but in a system with finite size, they generally, in general, they are different. The different scales as exponent with width of this ring L. In 2 minutes, I will explain how it is possible to control this number. Of course, we will assume that L is sufficiently large, so this energy splitting, as it is written here, is negligible. Now, the field Hx is the amplitude of the transition between even and odd state. Actually, I explained already that there are no such transitions at all. So Hx is equal to zero. But in this explanation, I assumed that the whole Hilbert space of this system is exactly inside the, it is just dimer subspace. So there are no any configurations which are not presented as full covering of the lattice by dimers. If this assumption is made, then this Hx is just zero. There are no transitions. But in fact, our physical system is mapped onto the quantum dimer model only approximately. As I explained, it is, and this approximation is just approximation of that one kind of Josephson junction is much weaker than another kind. So there are virtual states which are not of which are out of dimer subspace. The states where, say, instead of the dimer which cover, which is between two lattice sites, the whole Cooper pair is localized on a one end of this bond. If we take into account this virtual process, then we find that the amplitude of transition is non-zero, but it scales exponentially now with the length of this internal boundary of the system. And actually, it is a small parameter, alpha, in power m. And this small parameter is different for different realization of this system, but basically, say for version one, it is the ratio of weak Josephson coupling inside the hexagon to the strong one on the links between them. Now, okay. That's basically the final one. Nice thing about this model is that after we agree that one qubit is constructed, it is quite easy to make a system of many qubits. Indeed, I explained that one ring contains two approximately degenerate ground states. Now, let's make a system with many large holes. And let's count the parity of the state with respect to each of them. We will find that each extra large hole adds another factor 2 to the multiplicity of our ground state. So the system with large, with k large holes is equivalent to the some ensemble of k qubits. And we need to introduce fields which acts Hz and Hx acting on each qubit, and also interaction between them. So how we're supposed to do it? First of all, HX, as I explained in a minute ago, scales as the ratio of my two Johnson junction strengths in the power m, which is large. So the idea is that we can make in some side of this lattice close to the internal boundary, we make our large Johnson energy smaller. So we reduce this small parameter. It is sufficient to do it even locally. And then this parameter, which was small and it was a large power, so it was zero, now it becomes something close to one. And even in this large power, it is not negligible. So it produces some non-negligible amplitude of even to odd transition. Now, how to implement the HZ, so diagonal interaction? We suppose it can be done by putting some superconductive stripe on a electrically isolated from the array, and put temporary, put some gate potential on this line, so it will attract or repel dimers. Dimers are made of Cooper pairs, so they are charged. And of course, there is some definite parity of the number of bonds between internal and external boundary. So this perturbation, application of some gate potential to this superconductive stripe, will make a difference in energy between configurations which contain even and odd number of dimers. If we make this perturbation sufficiently slow, so that we do not produce real excitation beyond this dimer ground state, then the only thing we did is that we a little bit splitted the energies of our even and odd states. Okay, final point. Exactly the same way can be used to in order to make in order to produce a diagonal interaction between different qubits, which is coefficient in the product sigma z, say j, sigma z, k. J and k refer to different qubits. The idea is simply that the same, instead of connecting some hole to the external boundary, we connect two holes. And then counting the parity of dimers on this line and making a difference in energy between odd and even, we introduce exactly the term like this. Okay, that's it. Here is my conclusion. Thank you.
State you want to start a computation, how do you read it off at the end?
Ah, well, read off. Just more or less the same as the same device as this HZ term in the Hamiltonian. I need to count a parity of number of dimers on each of these control lines. Of course, at least it could be done by counting simply number, which could, since these dimers are charged, you measure it by single electron transistor. Of course, it would be more nice to have direct some measurement, which not count number, but only parity. There is some idea how to do it, but I will have no time to explain it right now.
How do you measure number? How do you measure the dimer?
Well, you count the dimers on the line.
Oh, okay. Let me put it back. So suppose now that this line is connected to a single electron transistor. Now each dimer is charged. It has a charge 2E. So as far as I know, it is possible to measure charge with rather high accuracy.
The dimer is a combination of two ions?
No, dimer is a Cooper pair which is in which oscillate between two ions. It's just
to measure the charge on two ions.
Yes, the charge on yes. But of course, this is a schematic form, but actually these islands are extended objects. So if there is a Cooper pair which is localized on this bond, it means that there is additional electric potential on this control line, which could be measured.
If you have no magnetic field and no magnetic order, what about Kramers degeneracy?
Well, but there is no.
You had some states with no degeneracy. So
yeah, but my basic object is a Cooper pair. I do not have electrons. There are no spin at all in the problem.
There is no time reversal breaking.
Oh, sure. No, of course I will not say it. Of course, the system is insensitive to local disorder. Of course, this whole line is a real perturbation which is not local and which produce, it was actually introduced to produce an effect. So, in order that this line would not spoil the system completely, what actually should be done is the following. Actually, such a line should not be a continuous line, but it should consist of a chain which is normally disconnected. These parts of this chain is normally disconnected from each other. Then we are not going to measure, or we are not going to introduce this HZ perturbation. And so in that sense, in that case, there is no non-local objects in our system. When we need to manipulate with this line, when we should make it continuous by, say, we need some superconducting switch, actually, to manipulate with such a system.